American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, September 5th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel. You're a WOG, a global sit rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a span for free speech today. Taking a span. We're taking spans.
Spanning the globe.
We're spam. We're taking spam. Please send all spam donations to Rand Media because we are taking spam for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. Remember, it is not personality that gives attitude. It's sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can currently still get to my live journal by going to Sean underscore kennedy.livejournal.com. And I don't know how long it's going to be before my actual, you know, that transition actually happens, but I'll just keep doing
soon,
it.
Soon, hopefully,
you know,
soon.
It'll be just after the rapture, and we'll have my live journal swap over. This would be a free radio broadcast. Well, technically, is it a radio broadcast? Because there's no fucking radios involved in this
really.
Broadcast.
Internet broadcast.
This is a free broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, along with SRN1. Yeah, what it is. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. And now, with no further ado, my beautiful... Jeez, I'm just tripping over the words. I just said, and now, with no further ado. You're like, what do you mean? There's no more Jews
that
here.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's anti-Semitic. You know, I've never been called that. I've been called a lot of stuff.
No, you haven't. You should try for that. I don't know.
No, I'm scared of getting called racist. It's so bad, too, because when you want to describe somebody, and I, you know, have friends who
are... He was a guy,
a dark-skinned guy. He was, you know, and you don't want to say, "Well, you called him black." Well, he was black. I don't know, and it's like ingrained
on the color chart. He was more towards the darker skin.
It was kind of a burnt umbra kind of a thing. you know, like what the hell? How do you do all that? I don't really have a problem. People say he's a white guy. You know, and people
I'm a white guy, looking pretty white.
Yeah, you're very white. You're like blonde.
Exactly.
You're like. You're Aryan.
Blonde and white.
You're a blonde Aryan vegan. Aryan vegan. Let's not make that a trend. That's okay. Bad. We won't make that a trend.
Good.
So we got some, and my beautiful and talented Jewish co-host, Samarian.
Not Jewish at all.
You're Jewish. I thought you were Jewish.
Yeah,
O'Brien's
good old
a Jewish
Brian
name.
Jewish name.
There's Irish Jews.
Probably.
What would they be like?
I am non-religious, so therefore I would not fall into the Jewish
Aren't
category.
Aren't you lucky you were born white? Because what if you were born Jewish and you were like, no, I'm going to be a vegan. I'm a vegan, non-Jew, Jew. Because I think you're born Jewish. Can you become a Jew?
You can be born Jewish. You can be born Christian because they bring you into the faith. You're raised, whatever, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but can you actually?
Do they dip you in water or something?
In the Jews? No, I don't think they do. I don't think that's the way that works.
They cut you down below.
They do the most cruel of cuts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I'd be like, well, if you want to be a Jew, that's fine. But you got to
can't go back.
Yeah, snip, snip. Whoa!
Oh, what's going on?
Calm down, Rabbi. Why don't you just step away from the garden shears? Yeah, I know. I'm really loud again.
We've been messing with trouble.
First of all, I made him mess with the levels on the microphone. And
it took like 5 minutes and then went, my mic's not on.
My mic's off. And Sim's like, punch. Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh,
so.
I see. That's why I wasn't
out. That's why I wasn't working, you freaking retard. But anyway. You know what movie I went to go see last night? I went to go see The Constant Gardener last night. And I probably should have seen that with you.
It looked interesting.
It's high. Here's Pharmacom companies killing people in Africa to test drugs. Yeah, that's what this movie's about.
Yeah, sounds good,
and
actually.
How people, much like Rant Media, are fighting against them and all this kind of
stuff. See, from the commercials, I didn't get that at all. It's like, I don't know what this movie's about. Looks kind of cool, but I have no idea what it's about.
It's an amazingly acted film. It's one of those films that it was very
Isn't
well
the
done.
Guy from The English Patient in it?
Yeah, Ralph Fiennes, but yeah. He plays a really cool character.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's actually the king of, like, subdued British MI6 covert guy, but he's, like, it's really cool. It's not James Bond at all. Let's make that painfully clear. Okay, he falls in love with this broad who's an activist.
Yeah.
And it's more about that, their relationship, and him discovering what she discovered and all this kind of jazz.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I was just in a dark place when I left the movie. It's like going and watching Hotel
Rwanda. Awesome.
Yeah, you'd be all about that. Like, you leave and it's like watching Hotel Rwanda. You're not going to go out and have a malt after that. You know what I mean? It's just like,
I feel great.
I feel fantastic. You know, and I don't understand why people go and see dramas like that. It's like maybe I have enough drama in my own life that I don't need to watch
it
on TV.
It's like listening to sad music when you're upset. You're in the mood. You like that.
Need that. I need to be listening to happy music when I'm sad because I don't like being sad. Being sad, that's why it's called being sad. Sad is bad. Rhymes with bad. Same letters. They even look kind of similar.
Oh,
S's
your mouse fell on the floor.
My mouse fell on the floor. Squee, squee.
Okay.
But no,
anyway.
in all seriousness. It's a really good movie in that it was well made. I would call it a good movie. But in the preview for this movie, and I didn't know how to talk about this because I saw this preview come out for a film that's coming out called Broken Back Mountain.
Haven't heard of it.
No. Okay. No, you haven't. You need to download the trailer and watch this because I felt weird about this. And I don't know if I should feel weird or if this is like latent homophobia coming in here or what. The gist of the movie is as follows. It looks like this total Louis L'Amour cowboy movie. Which I wouldn't go to see anyway. I'm like, look, cowboy. You know, wow. Check out how not I'm going to go see this cowboy movie.
Cowboys.
So there's these two cowboys, and it's like modern day, and they're up there on the range roping and riding and doing all this kind of roping.
Refer to Sean's rant about cowboys.
Cowboys, you know. Well, I mean, but they were actually gainfully employed as cowboys.
Oh, okay. So
okay,
okay,
you know. Yeah. And then they're like up there hanging out, and these two guys are really good buddies, and they, you know, fag out up on the mountaintop there. They have a love affair.
Great.
And then they come back down. They both get married. And they have families, and then they hook back up, and then they fag out again. And so, and it's all this drama about how, you know, but we're gay, but we're cowboys, but we love each other. I wish I could quit you, you know, and all this kind of crap. And
did they have the accent?
Yeah. You know, it's full on. I'm like, I thought it was a joke. I was expecting this to be like some weird cellular commercial or something, you know, and I'm like, and then it ends, and the screen goes dark, and I'm in the theater in Washington, right, because I went down there shooting with my wife.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
not video.
Not video. And I'm like watching this, and it went black, and I just went, that's fucked up, is what I said in the theater. And the whole theater started to laugh because I just I couldn't stop myself. I just said, that is fucked up. That was the most fucked up movie trailer I've ever seen.
Were they eating pudding at any time?
No pudding, but they were like
gay cowboys
on,
eating pudding. That's a big reference to South Park, old South Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're
complaining about these avant-garde videos about gay cowboys eating pudding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, they always gay cowboys eating pudding in these avant-garde films.
Yeah, it was pretty close. I mean, I don't know if they actually ate. They were eating some beans and Franks.
Okay.
You know, they were doing standing on the dock with my shirt off, looking all cowboy with just the cowboy hat and jeans on.
So not a movie you'd go and see.
Yeah, I don't know. But it really kind of shook me up a bit, you know? I was
why?
Like, whoa, I don't know. See, that's why I'm talking about it. This is my therapy.
Okay.
You know, I'm in my confessional booth here. You know, I got my little screen set up.
How about a commercial I saw yesterday?
Which was?
A woman is sitting on the porch with her dad, older, you know, 30s, 35. She's 30, 35.
And he's like a million.
And he's like a million. And so she's waiting for her new fiancé.
Right.
To come pick her up. And,
right.
And she's like going off with her fiancé.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I hope I like this one. And she's like, oh, you'll like my fiance.
Right. I know where this is going. Yeah.
And they pull up in a car. And supposedly the car is the status symbol. And the dad goes, I like him already.
Right.
And he walks off into the house without even having to meet him because, you know, it's a car commercial.
Right.
Because everyone's judged by their car.
Right. That's the status symbol. Yeah.
And then she climbs in the car and gives her girlfriend a kiss.
Right, right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I that's weird, you know? I don't know how I feel about that.
The invasion of the gays.
No, I'm not saying. It took me back. You know, it's supposed to be shocking, I guess, right?
It's not something you usually see.
No, it's not. You know what I mean? I live out in, like, Fort Langley. You know, there's lots of cowboy hats and country bars, you know?
Yep.
I guess, you know, I mean, I when you sit there and you'd say, you know, why does that give you a problem? As a straight guy, you know, married,
right.
All
yep.
that good stuff. You know, I'm the Christian recruitment demographic right here. You know, the Christians would be out there and for us be like, you see that, Sean? Aren't you a little worried?
Didn't it make you feel funny?
Didn't that make you feel funny, Sean?
Like
how's it going to be when the fags
right?
come for you, Sean? What about when they put you in camps? Well, there's a whole series of people trying to put me in camps, and the fags are not one of them. You know, and of all the people to put me in camps, I don't think the gay community could actually get organized enough to set up a camp, never mind anything else. But that's a whole other story.
But is it a community, or is it just people liking other people?
Well, that's
like
just
you like women.
But they, that's my point. That's my point. I have no problem with that. I mean, I've partied with gay people. A lot of my friends are gay.
And shouldn't maybe on average 10% of movies be about gay couples instead of straight couples?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's all I'm saying here is that I saw this freaking movie come out, and I'm like, you know, and if I'm, you know, I'm Sean Kennedy, I'm on Rant Media here, I'm pretty open-minded, and if that made me go, whoa, okay, whoa, you know, there's going to be a lot of noise about this movie, man, like, there's going to be huge noise.
For absolutely no reason at all.
Yeah, it was just like...
But it's kind of funny, I think it's like, also like Christian movies, whenever a big Christian movie comes out, all the Christians have to go see it.
Well, that's
because
true.
Because it's a Christian movie. Well, so therefore, when there's a gay movie that comes out,
all the gay people have to go see it.
It's almost a guaranteed sell.
You know what's a really good
movie? So I'm surprised that there's not more of them.
Well, one of my favorite movies, actually, it's probably one of my favorite movies of all time, is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
I've seen portions of that.
Oh.
It was on TV. Oh, I was doing something
else.
Dude. Looks
cinematographically,
pretty
wacky. It's awesome. Well, I enjoy drag queens, personally.
Of course, what's his name is in it, so amazing.
Yeah, Agent Smith plays a drag queen. I mean, there's
Hugo
a reason.
Weaving.
It's the smell, you know. I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there. But, you know, like, I don't know. I guess it was just that combination because, like, that's such an intense imagery, like the cowboy thing and then the gay culture thing. And the thing and I've always had a problem with this, and this has got nothing to do with gay culture. I've never understood bisexual people.
Mm-hmm.
Never understood that. Like the whole, I'm gay, and then, oh, I'm going to get married and have a family, and I'm going to be gay again. I don't understand that. I don't get that. That's weird, you know? I just don't understand how that works.
I don't know. I like chocolate ice cream. I like vanilla ice cream. I don't have to pick one or the other.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm of the opinion now, and unless I'm seeing other data, but I believe that gay people, it's not up to them. I don't think people choose to be gay.
I don't think people choose either.
No. So if you don't choose...
You can't help your feelings.
No, you can't. Like,
I am attracted to that woman.
Exactly.
I can't help it.
So to think of ridiculing people because they're gay...
That's ridiculous.
...is retarded. You know
don't
I mean?
Feel how you feel.
Yeah, and
you...
I mean, if I'm hanging out with a gay guy and I call him a fag and he calls me a breeder, I'm not going to really be upset by that. You fucking breeder. Yeah, whatever. Why don't you go home to your wife, token straight boy? You know, so
okay,
like...
I will.
No. Okay. You know. But the thing that gets me here is, like, I don't understand that whole I'm gay.
They don't have to choose.
Well,
one or the other. They can like men and women. There are men that like women and women that like men. Why can't they like both?
Well, I don't know. From a psychological standpoint, wouldn't that be kind of damaging, though? Like, you think that...
Why?
Well, because your sexual drive, right, is done by, you know, your hormones and chromosomes and your brain and shit, right?
Yep.
So it's like me. If I'm, you know, the body, you know, rolls the dice. Roll. Oh, he rolled under 50. He's gay, right? So then...
It's obviously not an on-off switch. It's not a one or a zero. A woman or a man, you like women or men.
Okay,
because you can like both.
Now, the thing is I've actually, you know, thought about it and everything, and I could not, like, get with another guy. Couldn't do it.
Neither could I.
No,
couldn't do anything.
As a matter of fact,
me.
When, you know, it doesn't make me angry or anything, I just kind of get that whole physical, I'm going to puke thing going on. You know, I'm like, oh, God, no. Now, so I assume then, that, you know, when gay men think about women, they get the same kind of feeling going on.
Probably.
So my confusion arises now when how is it possible? Because if it's a genetic thing, right? So this is, and this isn't got nothing to do with bigotry. It's an honest, I'm sure I've got a lot of, you know, Soros femme. And there's a whole ton of, you know, alternative lifestyle and gay people and everything else who listen to the program. I really don't understand that. Like, and it's not like a, you know, I just don't. I don't get it.
It's,
I don't
it
understand.
It just doesn't
it.
Work. For
yeah,
you.
I'm trying to understand this. So anybody who's got any information, newsreelrantradio.com, you can explain this whole bisexual. You know, I'm gay, but I got married. Because to me, it's like, yeah, I'm married and everything, and I'm straight and all that stuff. But you know, I just hung out with this guy, and we decided to, you know, get gay. You know, I met a lot of guys, a lot of really good guys, and you know, I've even had friends of mine who I love, you know, in the kind of the more agape sense. But it's not like. You know, I can't bring myself to be sexually aroused by, you know, people of the same sex. So I don't understand how I guess they could be aroused by both. Maybe that's weird. I mean, man, it's none of my business anyway. Fuck, whatever. You do what you want to do, you know. And I'll make fun of everything from chest thumpers to window lickers to fags to you name it because, hey, what the hell? You know, I mean, we're all geeks and nerds and freaks anyway. So, you know, you can't take yourself too goddamn seriously, no. Really. I mean, you know, come on. I'm up here being targeted every day by every misfit in the Seven Straits with a left-wing liberal slant and right-wing liberal. You don't know. That's a bad thing about not fitting into a camp.
Because they both hate you.
Because now you got no reinforcements. You're all out on the fringe out here. And you know
we're not going to support your show because way back in the day you said this.
That's right.
Did I?
Did I?
I can't remember that.
Probably. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Fuck you then. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into some feedback. I got a ton of feedback and just a couple news stories. Because Monday, cool. People want the feedback.
Yep.
Right? I think they picked up on the trend. They're like, because on the weekend it's like 130 emails.
Whoa.
Most of it's all, you know, feedback. It's like, dear Sean, I think this. Noted. All right. Dear Sean, now I'm purposely avoiding New Orleans stories. Be advised.
There's enough in the news. Anybody can turn on any channel,
activate any broadcast media and not hear about New Orleans.
Do you want to hear from us, too?
No.
Let's give you everything else that you're not seeing.
But, oh, baby, did I ever find something that slipped through the cracks that the President Bush passed that nobody's talking about.
Okay.
While you were watching... Dear Sean, New Orleans looting reports. Now, this is feedback. I can't control that.
Yes, you can. Deleted.
I'm not going to. Some of these are good, though. Okay. With New Orleans looting reports increasing as time progresses, the more we hear about the disasters, the more it proves the statement that society is three meals away from anarchy. I've had people say, oh, you're like a prophet now for saying, okay, I did not make that up.
No, it's well known.
That's kind of generally understood by anyone who knows anything about the real world. Carrying on. Looters are taking valuables as for personal profit, again. Totally. I can understand looting essentials like food, water, clothing, Huggies, hygiene, and lots of living items. Now, that is not looting. That is scavenging, in my books. If I need this to survive or to keep other people alive, I am scavenging.
Options, dying, or taking this out of a flooded store.
Break law and survive, not break law, die.
Let's see.
I don't care who's in power. I don't care what the conditions is. I am more important than any law.
And I think most people would probably agree with that.
All the wogs would. I'll guarantee that. Anyway, you can understand looting for Huggies and stuff. But to steal a TV or other electronics in a region without a power supply is insanely criminal. Line them up and start shooting. By the way, my unit was activated and deployed during blah, blah, blah. During these riots, actually, I can say that because there was a lot of units that were. My unit was activated and deployed in L.A. during the riots. I got off base on leave just as the vehicles were rolling off the line since I was in a platoon able to deploy overseas. But some of my friends told me about their experiences. What is it about a crowd mobbing that makes people think it's okay to be a part of that chaos? Why do these fools get into a boat, put some intelligence to work, and load the boat with the necessities and head out for the coast? There are boats all over the town in the aerial photographs. Patch a hull, finesse a motor, siphon some fuel, bypass an ignition, load some supplies, and get out of the nightmare. Sheesh, even with no kid, I'd be making some progress out there. Please, share more of your thoughts on that situation. Sean, log on, name withheld because of military service. So, absolutely. I don't understand this whole... You know, I'm hearing reports of people being dragged out of cars, shot, you know, being raped in the streets and stuff.
Yep.
And at that stage, I'm like, whoa, check out my target-rich environment. I'd be going Batman big time. Big time. You know, because you have your base, you set it up, concrete gets stronger underwater, so you find, like, the third floor of some building or some shit like that. Everybody shacks up in there, and you run 24-hour raid missions or scavenging missions out to, you know, sort shit out.
Oh, yeah.
And if you happen to see people, you know, dragging women out of cars and raping them, well, I'm going to hammer me five or six shit pumps while I'm out here on this thing, and nobody needs to know about it.
Nobody will.
Nobody will. I mean, the death toll and the murder rate, that's the one thing that nobody's talking about. Do you know that, like, if anybody has anything you want, they'll just shoot you and take it. And you'll never get prosecuted. No. I mean, there's no murder charge that's going to come out of New Orleans.
No.
You know what I mean?
Because they'll never sort it out.
They'll never sort it out. They're just going to go in there, bulldoze the whole thing, and start fresh.
Yeah.
So that's...
Pick up the bodies and not even look at them.
Yeah, this is why I'm a big fan of learning about gun, you know, ownership in your own personal region. Yeah.
Because I actually saw in the news a lot of people with guns on their hips.
You're goddamn right.
And these were people, you know, keep cleaning up their houses and doing normal things.
You betcha.
Not killing other people.
Break out the drop leg holster. Me and my Denali down by the schoolyard. That's how that works. You betcha.
And these people that are looting stuff, I just picture these people with piles of jewelry and TVs. With no food and starving to death. And I give a little giggle.
Well, the guy's looting.
And he's at home and got all this jewels, and he's sitting on a pile of jewels like a king in his dungeon and dies.
Well, this is what will happen when it actually, if it ever really does take a crap, and I've mentioned that before, is that if it does take a crap, that's what you'll notice. So the power goes out. Yeah. So everyone's going to loot, and then that's the prime time. When everybody's grabbing TVs, the wogs are grabbing food and water because we know that the TVs aren't worth anything. But these people think the power is coming back. So
It's not.
So you're grabbing...
not for months and months and months.
You're grabbing... and if you're worried about it, you grab jewels and jewelry because they hold more value for size.
Yeah.
And then you load up on food and safety, medical, and ammo. That's what you're...
One of the things that really, really got me...
Was
the enforcement of preventing people from looting rather than putting this power towards helping people. I don't understand that.
Well,
that all of a sudden, like right away, they had a whole bunch of people protecting the stores down there rather than helping people that are starving and trying to get water.
Okay, that's a lot of angle there. I think that's one way of kind of looking at it. What I think... was more implied there, and I could be wrong, but right now looting is violence. Okay, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop.
Is it?
Because what's
somebody's
one step,
going into a store stealing something?
It's robbery. It's theft, right?
But
now,
it's
if guys
violence,
are just going in and they're stealing stuff, and you put a barrier on that, well, they're already losing millions and millions of dollars. So they're trying to stop bleeding money. Now they're trying to stop, of course, the people who own these stores have cash.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, if they want to fund it themselves and send a private person into there to defend their store, great. But if they're using government money to defend corporations from losing a little bit of dollars rather than going down the street and dropping off some water to somebody that's starving,
That's bullshit. Yeah, absolutely.
That is absolute bullshit.
But then you do run into... that's something I'm going to be doing a lot more reporting on lately because it's showing up more and more as private military contractors because these guys...
There's a lot, actually. I saw a story in the news.
There's two stories.
You may be covering it, but there was a family that was from another country that was trying to get out of New Orleans. They were there on vacation, and they could not get out until they hired a private PMC to get them out, and then they got out.
They got extracted.
But
Who'd they hire?
They had money. They didn't say the name of the company.
Of course they didn't, because it's a PMC.
Yeah.
So they probably hired Blackwater, some indigenous group, and they're like, right, we will extract you. That is a great job. I'm looking for... That's a $100 billion a year industry last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
And it was very nice that they were able to afford that kind of thing.
You betcha. $150,000 will get you sprung from a third world nation by Israelis. Yep. There's a whole A-team that goes around and does that. $150,000 a crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got to have the money, which is what I talked about the other day on the show. No money equals fucked. Okay.
Yes.
Dear Sean, mywireless.org may be a front. Now, this is I did a link about mywireless.org. It's a place to talk about wireless rights and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay. You forgot to warn the WOG Armada, trademark, to be vigilant that the organizations like this might be controlled by the core political. Maybe my tinfoil hat is on too tight, but I have reason to believe this one is core politically bad. There is a small set of companies that would directly benefit from stated goals in mywireless.org. The average consumer would likely benefit as well, but that is a secondary concern to the core political. As a certain conservative radio talk show host has been known to say, follow the money.
You're a conservative?
No. As a certain one, follow the money. I think he's talking about Alex Jones.
Okay, say that too. Did you?
Well, everybody says follow the money because that's how you get to the truth. And that was sent in by Phoneboy. Thank you very much, Phoneboy. And it's up to listeners.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, I've talked about mywireless.org. It looks pretty good. It's very flashy, but, we'll see. We'll get some logs on it. Right now, it'll get sorted.
Okay.
Dear Sean, I'm writing this to asking your permission to use the world, slang terms, and descriptions of your Tales from the Afternow shows in a book I've decided to write. I did not decide to write this because you wrote a book, as some may think. I'm doing it because I seem to have a problem finishing projects I start and feel the world you've created in the Afternow would make for a great setting. My ideas on plot are still up in the air, but the time frame has been picked. I wanted to use the arcologies, blah, 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 blah. And he goes on talking a little bit about the book here. Okay. Peace. And he signed his name, because I don't want to give out his name, because then people will dog on him. Now, Sim, just so I know, what is your take on the Afternow stuff and other people doing work on it?
Well,
from the legal aspect, because you're the guy who
right
does that.
Now, right the now, legal aspect
is
very, very cool. A lot of people can do, actually, a lot of stuff with your world.
Right.
The one thing they cannot do, it's only one thing you cannot do with any of our creations, is make money off of it.
So if
this guy can write a book to his heart's content and do whatever he wants.
So legally, he's in the clear so long as he does not.
Don't sell it.
Don't
you
sell
can
it.
Give it away.
So
set it to
regardless
your
of what I say, he could still write it. Yeah. And I haven't got a legal leg to stand on.
That's okay. Right.
As long as you don't make money
with
it.
Don't sell. And one more thing you have to do.
What's that?
Give credit to Sean.
That's right.
You have to say, I got this from Tales from the After. Now, Sean Kennedy, point it to the After.
Do the big August Derleth thing where at the beginning of all of his books, he goes, H.P. Lovecraft is my god.
Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, that's what he does.
So those are the two things. And once you do those, you're covered. You can have fun with it. And that's the whole point is sharing.
Give it shit. You betcha. Give her. Now, as for me, I have a little request where I don't want you to use any of my characters specifically. Like, if I did a story, like in Scabbing's Abaddon, okay, I've got a character called the Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
Now, if a guy, now he's part of an organization and yada, yada, yada. Now, if you want to do somebody else in that organization, that's fine. I'm a little concerned about people taking, mapping out the world and saying things are this way.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to consult with you on whether or not my world happens to fit with your world description.
That's right. It would confuse things.
So
and people would
I
get...
would stay very vague if I was you, but I have no problem with that. If you want to do it and people like your take on my world better than my world, that's great. I'm not worried about that.
It'd be cool to add a different story in the world, right?
Yeah, you betcha.
Like, arcologies are very broad and stuff. You can make up a new arcology or whatever.
I sort of think of it as you know, the way Tolkien is. Because Tolkien, we think of fantasy now as founded on Tolkien's shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's
the
guy.
So much,
he's
right?
The god of modern fantasy. Period. End of list. Okay.
Yep.
So when you look at that and you go, okay, well, you know, everybody is kind of like, yeah. So if you want to do post-apocalyptic stories and use a lot of the slang and terms, it's just like cyberpunk. You know, same ideas. You know, Gibson thought of it. Everybody else started.
And I'm sure Sean would really want you to be very respectful of what he has created and really study what's going on in the story.
Yeah, so,
you don't corrupt it, so you don't change something.
Yeah, there's some flow and stuff like that to make sure that we keep it, what's the term I'm looking for here?
Tight.
Consistency, you know, otherwise there's
problems. Because if you say something that conflicts with something else in the story, people are going to get, like, what's real? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
How can he be in two places at the same time? And
that's
blah.
Right. But luckily, time is copywritten. So everybody's running on different clocks.
And nobody knows what.
Nobody knows what time
when.
It is. So it's all this weird post-apocalyptic void. So it's kind of I want people to write stories about it, you know. And after I die, well, you know, hopefully everyone's going to go nuts. That's when everyone's going to make money on it. Is after I'm dead. Anyway,
that's right.
Dear Sean, so I was at the grocery of death the other day at the checkout line, right next to the customer service desk, and I was discreetly peering to my right at the checkout, and this really hot chick who seemed loaded and naive. She was receiving help there. After a minute or two, I panned down to my right and noticed there was a little booth where she was walking with the employee, had a marquee that read, cash and card, free checking. I looked down and saw a thumb scanner and shook my head while I was saying, holy shit, man. So crazy thoughts are going through my head. Do I tell this chick that she's a nuts and making a big scene on Get All Boisterous? No way. That solves nothing. And you look crazy in front of a hot chick.
You look very crazy.
Don't go crazy in front of hot chicks. So you get a bunch of people saying, who the hell was that nutcase? So I said to myself, what would Wog do? So I was leaving. I leaned into her, which I think is, he didn't actually lean into her.
I leaned into her very close.
I was wrong, baby. Why don't you get in the car?
I said, what's that?
What is that from?
That's
I know that voice.
That voice, yeah, you like that? That's pretty
what's
good.
What's voice from?
That's from Sin City.
Oh, that's yeah, like, that's right.
They never really quits, smokers.
You know, that guy, he was so good. That guy, he was just so crazy. He's like, oh, no, the cops are here.
you
know, that's the voice the voice of Wog, eh?
Oh, the thumbprint scanner. I don't think so.
Which was played by
the guy who's the most shape-shifting actor ever.
Oh, my God, yeah. He's amazing.
Inigo Montoya.
It's Inigo Montoya.
What the hell's his name? He was in Fear and Loathing. We're totally brain-farting on this one. Oh,
sorry.
Whatever. Anyway.
Everyone knows.
So as I was leaving, and I leaned into her, she was being instructed by the employee and said, are you sure you want some company?
You want some company
oh,
tonight?
Oh, sorry. No, I put
you
the...
want some
are
company
sure
tonight?
Hey, baby.
I said to her, are you sure you want some company to have your thumbprint on file? I winked and walked away.
Hey, that's pretty psycho, dude.
That is still
you
that
want
psycho.
Some company to have your fingerprint on file?
I winked and walked away. As I turned to go down the hallway, I looked back and she had already left the booth. I don't know if she did it or not, but or will in future, but at least now she's thinking a little bit before she adds another convenience into her life. Milltown walk out from the Caps Locker. Well done, Caps Locker. I hope you don't have crazy hair. Dear Sean, in show number 170, good God, you raised a stink about how many people are considered obese in America. I will not say that Americans are unhealthy. I will not say that Americans are unhealthy and overweight. But please be aware that the definition of obese in America today is the definition of overweight of 10 years ago. For example, both you and I are considered obese by the current definitions. Well, I don't know about anymore.
I don't think so.
I used to be, yeah.
I wouldn't even say that.
While I agree that... No, I was. I went to a doctor and he said I was obese.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And while I agree that both of us could lose a few pounds, I don't think we warrant the word obese. I believe that the redefinition of the term overweight to obese is simply to drive up profits for health clubs and the medical industries of the 1980s, which is something
granted.
To say for that. Yeah, granted. That's a given. But Woody, go to Vegas. Thanks for calling. it's like, whoa, slow down, Tubbo. Dear Sean, this is, we're into the sort yourself out section.
Okay.
I got two sort yourselves out here. Dear Sean, I'm looking around for part-time or perhaps even a new full-time job. And I've seen a few new security guard positions, which this is going out huge. There's lots of people looking for security guards because, well, everything's going private.
Yes.
And opening up around me. Before I give it a go, I want to get your input on it. Since you had a few years of security experience, is there anything I should know? If there's any tips you should give me? Yes, first of all, don't do it. Gray Ghost. I would advise not becoming a security guard.
It's a tough job.
It is a very tough job, and it's a lifestyle choice. And after you've been one for a while, you really can't do anything else.
Okay. You get berated, you get spit on.
You get a little cynical, and you start
to hate society.
Because
you see the worst of it, just like cops do.
Yeah, people equals shit. Yeah, totally. you'll kind of get that way. Now, if you want to know, now that said, though, in my very own tinfoil hat paranoid way, I believe that this is going to be the .com computer industry of the future is going to be security, to be honest with you. I totally believe that. We're dealing with the gaps. Yeah, it's depressing as hell. It's totally after now. It's just like, be a security guard. You can either be beating the beggar's back or be one of the beggars. Dun, dun, dun. Want to know more?
Because you know you're not getting into the core politicals.
Naked force has resolved more conflicts than any other factor in history. Okay, so what I would say is, if you're try to find something else, but if you can't find anything else and you think that you're actually going to be good at it, learn how to fight, learn how to shoot. Enroll in a martial arts class, enroll in an actual martial arts class, not, you know, crazy Bob's house of death. You know, get something that teaches you how to do control tactics. If I was going to pick a martial art, I'd either say Aikido or Jiu-Jitsu, something like that. Something that's away from the punching and kicking, more into the controlling, joint locks, stuff like
grappling,
that.
Grappling, taking him down. Because you're not going to be punching and kicking. You're going to be taking him down.
Well, you may wind up punching and kicking, but if you're at
that
case...
That's not what you want to
Yeah,
do,
that's
though.
Not what you want to be, because everybody gets hurt then, including you. But beyond that, I would just simply say if you focus on your craft by learning security-related skills, and there's lots of private industries that teach it, eventually the cash will follow. Approach it as a professional. Look at it as a professional. And eventually you will make professional money. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Dear Sean, this is kind of a crazy email I got here. It's a little bit longer, but whatever.
Okay.
I'm 24 years old. I was born in Birmingham, England. My parents are both dead and no family. I met a woman on the internet 5 years ago. We met and began a relationship of sorts. We've been married for about 4 years and have a 3-year-old son. Cool. Yes, I moved to America. I got a job working at Walmart and hated it. When I got an offer for a computer job, I came open to be a computer operator, so I took it and worked that for a year and a half.
Awesome.
Then one day, without even realizing, I moved to housekeeping and then to trash pickup. What the fuck is wrong with me, man? Why am I going backwards when I feel like I'm not even doing, like, it's not even me doing it. It's like I woke up and I'm doing something totally different.
What the hell?
Tonight at work, well, no, that happens. That totally happens.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Let me finish
this.
Okay. Tonight at work, I was talking to a guy who was in the Korean War, and he was telling me about how back over there was a 12 to 15-year-old guy sucking dicks for candy bars, and in war, those times, it didn't matter to you. Like, that's the kind of, like, that's the savagery of, you know, war. Now, it shocked me into realization I'm surrounded by people more fucked up than I presently thought. And it made me look at myself, and quite honestly, I'm confused. I am old before my time. I know things that I've experienced, things that most 24-year-olds have only seen on TV. But I'm happy, and I think I love my wife, I love my kids, and I'm empty. And I love my kid, but I'm empty, and then nobody... And I'm a nobody, but my actions scream out to people that I have something special. They respond... Yet when their computer is off and the lights are off, I find myself lost. I have the weirdest of dreams every night. Every night, they make sense, and I don't have the abilities the disabilities or difficulties in life that slow me down, yet I hardly move. I hear you talk about things. You seem to know your place, but still know your place in the world. Reference not know your place, like you will stand in line. which, you know, I wish I could actually stand in line more. But still I sense you're not the same as the image you give. As I am false unto others, true unto yourself. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you don't have to, maybe you don't have questions. Maybe you've found all the answers. No, I have not. I'm merely working on this current set of revised orders, version 17.52.56.3. I am not some screaming fanboy. I just don't have an outlet. Anyway, I haven't said half as much as I've wanted to or needed or wished to, as I lack the words to describe. Now, this isn't a cry for help or pity, as it is neither. I just needed a channel, and quite honestly, you can just send this email back or say, fuck off, weirdo, but at least I know someone in the world has a little bit of me, which I only share with myself, and I put a smile up for every day on the norm. Don't feel you need to reply. Talk hard or die quiet. Now, name withheld for obvious reasons. Now, this is about despair, and we're talking about despair in our generation, okay, and how to fight it. It's about survival. Now, there's one emotion that everybody, you know, getting back to what you said, Sim, yeah, this happens all the time. Guys will join up. And unless you're sucking dick, seriously, with any company, these big corporate politicals, unless you are sucking dick, you wind up staying in the shallows.
You'll fall by the wayside.
You stay in the shallows, and they won't fire you. They'll just put you in shittier and shittier and shittier jobs.
Until you leave.
That's how it works. And then everybody's able to stay on the moral high ground.
That sucks.
So it's about survival is what we're talking about. And the way there's lots of emotions you can channel into to try to talk about survival. Now, there's two schools of thought on this, okay? There's the Buddhist mindset, which is life is shit, don't stress, everything sucks.
And then you die.
Ooh-ah. Okay.
Wee!
Not so happy. Didn't really work for the Seanster over here.
No.
I'm like, oh, fuck it. So, I'm like, whatever. Now, the flip side to that is you got a wife and a kid, so you can't really just go, oh, fuck it, because you got this other kid involved.
Your number one
priority here is for your kid. So for me, when I look at stuff like this, because I'm married, I ain't got no kids, but, you know, I'm married, and I try to, you know, provide and, you know, live a good life and team up and, you know, go Team Kennedy and all that good stuff. I would say that I'd go Sith with this kind of shit. I usually use anger to motivate me forwards.
Really?
Yeah, I do. No, it's true. You wouldn't know it. But in all honesty, I use a lot of anger to motivate myself forwards. I'm like, this is fucked. And I get really savage. And unfortunately, you have to use a certain amount of temperance in your day-to-day life when you are angry. You have to maintain that not everyone is your enemy. But if people reveal themselves to be your enemy, you can't really destroy them utterly either because, you know, we live in an organized society and stuff like that. But it's a matter of you getting very tactical and critical about your thinking, looking at what you have, what you need, consider the economics, see which is the easiest, most appropriate way for you to make money, and then follow that path. You know, that's the only, because, again, it's coming back down to cash. All the ideals in the world are fantastic, but it's useless if you don't have the power to enforce any of them. So that's just my own personal take. Sim?
Sounds good.
Dear Sean. Okay, we're on to number 8 already here.
Okay.
Dear Sean, I'm watching the incidents in New Orleans closely, but I'm becoming increasingly angry about the situation there. They're surrounded by water, granted, and it's filthy and it doesn't require a BS in engineering to build a basic distiller, which is true. Why is no one going out there and uniting people in an effort to save themselves? This is truly disgusting. I can't wait for a They can wait for Fluffy Pillows cruise ships. Cannibal Cruise Lines is loading out vessels to use as shelter and whatnot. But what they need now is basic sanitation. I hate to give it to the Homeland Security pricks, but they were right calling FEMA's response a disgrace. I'm aware both of these agencies are shady, but generally they still have a job to do and they're supposed to do it. Give me your opinion, yours truly, Doobie X. Well, Doobie X, we have entered the nexus of my mentality regarding people equaling shit. In life, in the role-playing world, in role-playing games, you see there's two kinds of people. There's the PCs. These are the player characters. These are the guys who have the characters you control. You know, the GMs, the PCs.
Yep.
Now, in the world, the PCs are the WOGs. Is here. And then everybody else in the game are the NPCs. These are the non-player
characters.
That sounds
very dehumanizing.
What's that? I'm simply drawing a correlation here, okay?
They are nothing.
They are the NPCs. These are the non-player characters who generally are the stormtroopers who get shot by the Jedi. Okay? But in the new movies, they switched to robots because it wasn't so bad when they were killing robots.
No blood.
No blood, right? So, but in the really real world, there's a lot of really dumb fucking people out there who are, in fact, food. Okay, they're just, you know, they're gator bait.
And I saw a lot on TV.
Yeah, they are.
Recently.
They're food. These people are food. They have never, oh my God, can you start, like, okay, I draw your attention to the reality TV show, which will remain unnamed, where they took 3 days to start a fire on a desert island. Okay? This is why I can't watch those shows, because I'd be like Colonel Kurtz on the island after 20 minutes, okay? It'd be like, I'm a ragged claw scuttling across the ocean floor. You know, seriously, man. There's a lot of really fucking stupid people. Why is nobody allying the groups? Why do you think I made patrolling? Like, that's why. Because there's a massive lack of training and critical
thinking. Basic personal sustenance. If you live in an area where tornadoes and hurricanes go through constantly every year,
yeah.
Get ready for them.
You know, like, what do you suppose next year another one's going to hit?
They're expecting two more of them coming.
Yeah, and here it comes. So if you're not GFO, if you're not GFO now, I could have walked out of New Orleans by this point. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have swam the fuck out of there by now. Okay, so, you know, me personally, I'm just kind of like, well, the reason why, Doobie, is because people equals shit. There's a lot of NPCs out there who just don't know what they're doing. And is that dehumanizing? Yeah.
And then you, unfortunately, you do have to bring up the people that are 93 years old, people that are sick.
The snowwalkers.
Yes, the snowwalkers. Unfortunately, snowwalkers. That is how it works in that case.
They die.
Absolute travesty, disaster in the area. You just can't save everyone.
You can't.
The strong survive.
So, all you old people, please hang yourselves in New Orleans. Well, not exactly. But, you know, you have a certain responsibility to look after yourself. If you can't look after yourself, you know, you become a burden to others. That's just a fact.
And also a lesson is, look after yourself first, and then start looking after others in your area.
Absolutely.
So, if you do know of somebody who is frail, old, young, sick...
Yeah, children
then
and stuff
you,
like
then
that.
You
of
will have to.
You're like, well, John, what about the babies? What about them? Yeah, whatever. Dear Sean, another opinion piece.
Yes.
I love these opinion pieces.
Yes.
What would you view, what would your view on school, now that's September and many listeners are in school now, for example, things like children expelled from school for having airsoft rifle outside when he lives next door to a school and other such things as teachers who have skewed view of current events and try to press them on us, blah, blah, blah. Also, since I'm in CST and I'm in school now, could you email me your response as well? No, I won't. You get it on the show. Thanks for coming out. Fiber.
What is he talking about? Airsoft rifles at school?
No, if you live beside a school and you happen to play with an airsoft rifle in your yard and the school goes, you had a rifle at school. No, asshole, I live beside the school. Take a pill. Yeah.
If it's in school, then deal with it.
That's a great thing. I fucking hate teachers. I do not like teachers. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say that. There's a large majority of teachers who are power-tripping fucks.
Yes,
there who, are. Like, totally abuse kids and yep. set them up to be little consumer whores. And there are very few teachers...
Reference Pink Floyd the Wall.
Yes. There are... And every gnome and their fat psychopathic lives will thrash down within inches of their lives. Yeah. There are a few good teachers out there. There are few and far between, and it is my apology to those good teachers, some of which listen to the show, who I've received emails from. But unfortunately, even they've got to go, yeah, Sean's right. There's a lot of shitbag teachers out there.
And it is tough dealing with snot-nosed kids.
It is, and it is. And they get it from the kids.
Yeah.
They get it from higher, and they get it from the press.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're fucked three different ways. You know, I mean, wow. So, my take on school is as follows. Get all you can out of it. It is not enough to know something. You must have another's acknowledgement that you know it. So spaketh Nietzsche.
See it as a tool.
That's right. So if you can get a ticket or certificate that says, I'm smart. See, I got the paper that says I'm smart, and I went to this school. Exploit it. Exploit what's free, and build up the character sheet so that you can get yourself into a better position to improve your economic status. Sounds kind of cold, but welcome to the war. And speaking about the war, let's get right back to the desert war. While the rest of New Orleans is drowning, we have to remember that there's a really big war going on.
There
still.
Is?
There is.
I've just been watching drowning people in the news.
President Bush answered growing anti-war protests yesterday with a fresh reason for U.S. troops to continue fighting in Iraq. You ready for this one?
Give me the reason.
Protection of the country's vast oil fields, which he said otherwise would fall under the control of... terrorist extremists. Yeah! That's
okay.
Right.
Well, at least he's being honest now.
You betcha. The president, standing against the backdrop of the U.S. USS Ronald Reagan, the newest aircraft carrier in the Navy's fleet, said terrorists would be denied their goal of making Iraq a base in which to recruit followers, train them, and finance attacks out of Iraq. So they're not really terrorists then, they're Iraqis.
Yes.
Because if they're using Iraqi as a base, wouldn't he want them to have a base so they'd all go there and we could get them all at once? Hey. So, what do I know, fuck? We will defeat the terrorists, Bush said. We will build a free Iraq that will fight terrorists instead of giving them aid and sanctuary. Yeah. So
he's still using the word terrorist, eh?
Not, terrorist extremist.
Terrorist extremist. Oh, it's
terrorist
both
extremists.
Now.
Yeah,
okay,
they're compound. Then eventually they switch to extremists.
Extremists.
And then, yeah, then it'll just
it's a slow transition. Maybe in a month.
Thinker and then loner and then, you know,
that's
people
right.
not on meds. You know, and then freeborn. Yeah.
Yeah.
In bad cop news. Now, this is where people think I have a uniform fetish, you know, that I think cops can do no wrong.
Yeah.
This is clearly not the case.
Okay.
In Papua New Guinea, for example, police minister Beer Kimposa has admitted that he's aware of females being raped while in police custody.
Oh, that shit.
He was responding to a scathing report by U.S.-based Human Rights Watch, HRW, which detailed an epidemic of extreme physical violence by police in Papua New Guinea. These includes gang rape of young girls in police custody. Sexual abuse, including gang rape of girls and boys, is also common.
What is he like? It's only been a few of them.
Well, he's like, he said, I'm aware of these incidents of females offenders being in custody, being raped, and that's something we're not proud of.
But we'll still continue to do it.
Well, good for you. You're not supposed to be proud of that there, shit bump.
We hang our heads in shame after we do it.
Again?
Guys, come on.
Come on,
it's the third
guys.
Time this
She's
week.
12. That's something we need to eradicate within the PNG force now, he
Work
said.
On it over the next month, please.
Yeah, get back to me on this one. All I can say is as far as the PNG police force is concerned, we're going to change that culture, and we're working extremely hard to change the culture. The culture of raping females.
That's a culture, is it?
That's a culture, apparently. Which my response to that is, no, that's warlord bullshit. That's not law enforcement. That's gang rape. And that is a killing offense. So this is what the U.S. Armed Forces should be doing. Stuff like, ooh, there's rape gangs. Like, seriously, if you want to, I really don't have a problem with the U.S. being world police. You just have to choose what laws you're going to police. Like, for example, let's say the United States, right, has a large black populace. Very large black populace in the United States. Okay?
Yes, there is.
Very much. A lot of the military are black because a lot of poor income families go and join, and it's always the poor income people who end up dying for the rich people.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, I think it'd be an easy sell to the American people to go, you know what? The United States, fuck the war on drugs. Fuck the war on terrorism. We're going to eradicate slavery. That's what we're going to do. And personally, if I was, as a soldier, if I was thinking, you know what, we're going to go to this country, there's a bunch of these people who are being sold into slavery and shit like that, I'd be willing to fight, run in there, and get shot and die and whatever, fighting to free slaves.
I think they'd have a much better time doing that than justifying protecting oil fields.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, personally, I think that there is a role for hatred in battle and in war. People don't seem to think that.
It's a motivation.
No, actually, what it is self-preservation. The last thing you want to do is empathize with your enemy. That's
right.
Insanity. What you're doing is you're setting yourself up for post-traumatic stress. If you walk in there and you're like, oh, it's really bad. We bombed the village and everything. Oh, and what about those kids and la, la, la. Well, unfortunately, that's a police role, okay? If the army is called in, this is why the military and the police are separate.
Right.
Not the same, okay? The cops are there to establish peace and enforce law. The military is there to kill people. That's their job. Okay?
They have guns.
They go in there. They're not here to rationalize. They're like, lay down. No, bang, thud, you're dead. That's how it works. Okay,
yep.
That's the way the game is played. And if you have your military being totally empathetic, they're like, oh, God, I killed four people. And you lose 50% of your force because they're all shell-shocked. Right?
Not good.
And this is why during every war, and people go, that's horrible. No, that's the truth. And that's why in the last wars, they've always had, you know, this big, you know, against the Japanese, they had all this propaganda against the Japanese. Disney was running all these shows showing the Japanese is bad. All the cartoons were, you know, little
oh, yeah.
guy Japanese guys. That's why. It's to dehumanize your enemies so that you don't wind up.
So you don't feel bad at all killing
about
any of them.
About geeking your people, yeah. About geeking these people. And that's one of the things they found about working in Africa. Going to Yugoslavia, more people are coming back shell-shocked. Why? Because they are Eastern European white people that look like people you know. You're driving around neighborhoods that look like neighborhoods you know.
Yep.
And it really messes with your head. In Africa, not so bad. I mean, granted, there's horrific That is the most horrific Heart of Darkness place in the world right now. Hands down, horrible what's going on there. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from a alienation, trying to keep people not to associate with the people you're working with, it's easier because oftentimes, like, well, me as a white guy, you know, it's easier because this is a totally alien culture to me, right? So it's
right,
like,
yes.
And that's why, you know, in Black Hawk Down, they were calling them skinnies and all this kind of stuff. That's where that comes from. It's not because army people are shit. It's because they have to do that to survive. And even cops take an awesome them mentality, right? They're always like, well, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And getting back to what they said.
Otherwise, it prevents them from doing their job.
Yeah, exactly. And you wind up turning into another casualty. So, in private military contractor news, we got two stories related to that. First of all, British guy has been kidnapped in Afghanistan, and he got wound up getting chopped up and pretty much dragged off in the mountains, and he's going to be tortured to death. That's what's going to happen to him. And this is one of the problems with PMCs, that people, you know, people, like, there's certain pros that go with the PMCs, but the cons are that there's no real support for these guys. You can't be MIA, you can't be a POW when you're a PMC, because you're a merc.
Yeah.
So, when you're a merc,
you're on your own.
You're on your own. Oh, you got captured? You would be fuck sword. Nobody's coming for you. Thanks
yeah,
for coming
you
out.
You did it to yourself.
And as well, while we were watching PMC... Oh, pardon me. I've got another one here.
Okay.
It seems that British... Oh, I've got two
did
stories
just,
the same. No. Here's another one. NBC News has sent a private security personnel to the increasingly dicey Gulf Coast region to help keep its employees safe while covering the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So NBC News has a private military contractors protecting their medias. How Shadowrun is that?
Very.
Very, very Shadowrun. And as well, in World War III news, here's the big story. You ready for this one?
Yes.
The Bush administration has declared war on the world. The 450 changes that Washington is demanding to the action agenda will culminate in the September 2005 United Nations summit. Don't represent the UN reform. They're a clear onslaught against any move that could strengthen the United Nations or international law. The upcoming summit was supposed to focus on strengthening and reforming the UN and address issues of aid and development, in particular emphasis on implementation of the UN's 5-year-old Millennium Development Goals. Most assumed this would be a form of dialogue and debate involving civil society activists from around the world challenging governments from the impoverished South and wealthy North and from the South and the wealthy North and the United Nations to create a viable global campaign against poverty and for internationalism. But now, there's a different and even greater challenge. This is a declaration of U.S. unilateralism, uncompromising, and ascendant. The United States has issued an open threat to the 190 other UN member states and the social movements and people of the entire world and the United Nations itself. And it will take a quick and unofficially collaborative effort between all three of those elements to challenge Bush administration juggernaut. The General Assembly's packaging of the proposal informs, emerging after 9 months of negotiations ahead of the summit, begins with new commitments to implement the Millennium Development Goals established in 2000 as a set of international commitments aimed at reducing poverty by 2015. They were always insufficient, yet as weak as they are, they have yet to be implemented. So this is yet another example. This is kind of poorly worded. When you read the article,
yeah.
What they're getting out of this is the United States has gone, yeah, you know what? The UN is not going to have any jurisdiction over us, and we're not going to play with the UN because the UN the UN is a paper organization.
Mm-hmm.
They have no balls.
Yeah.
They're totally un-UN, ineffective. They're useless, okay? And it's just something that says, well, we have the UN. We have the UN. What's the UN doing about this? So it's a scapegoat. The UN is rapidly becoming a scapegoat. And if you look at the amendments, there's 450 changes in America's policy regarding the UN that needs to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
where they're not playing along with any of the UN's games. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be long before the United States goes, fuck you, it's Fortress America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where that's going to go. So just something to bear in mind. As well, got some booster news. It seems that LSD is back up, showing itself as a psychological implementation. It was a drug of choice on university campuses, a drug that spawned psychedelic culture as well as countless jail sentences and fines. But LSD actually has a respectable roots. Roots at McMaster University, a researcher, is uncovering. Now, funny enough...
We know that
because we had Frank on the show, and
he
was a big acid head. Far from being fringe medical research trials of LSD were once a legitimate branch of psychiatric research, explains Enrica Dick, a doctoral researcher in the Department of History at McMaster University in Canada. LSD produced a model psychosis, meaning people who took the drug exhibited symptoms of illness such as schizophrenia. Doctors use this new method for studying mental illness. So they feed them LSD and then they study the results to study mental illness. I don't know if I really like that so much.
Not the greatest drug to take.
Daily Hack today is top 25 ways to save at the pump. Some of these are common sense, but some are really good ways to save gas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
oh,
wow. You know, something that you can actually use right now because holy crap. I guess it was $5 over in Toronto this week. A liter.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Apparently it got up to like $5 a liter there. It was like sick and weird. Yeah.
That's expensive.
Bad. Very, very, very bad. Yeah. Yeah. People are going to be shooting. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those 71 people for the month of July. But I don't have the new list yet, do I? No. Did you email it to me?
No. So you don't have it yet.
No, I don't.
You have it tomorrow.
I'll get it tomorrow. And five more people for the month of July as well. So that's 76 people total. And if you would like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Digital baptisms today. Oh, wait, click on the donate tab when you're there.
Please.
Digital baptisms today. Alan is now known as Rogue Tomahawk. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by The Shizit called Soundtrack for the Revolution. It's a compilation album, I believe. I'm going to leave you now with a good Canadian tune. So until tomorrow, that's What Server Said. End of line.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay. Oh, beauty, go. Okay. Good day, welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, this record was my idea.
Get out.
It was.
You're lying.
Eat Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
We agreed to say that, but
on take off.
Saying, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And, yeah.
Well, so, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off!
Take off! To the great white north! Take off! It's a beauty way to go! Take off! To the great white north!
Hey, hose hand.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Oh, get out. It is not.
It is so.
Stop lying, will you?
Take off, eh? Oh.
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh?
Like magic, eh? It's coming in.
Well, that's
like... It's like it was sung by angels.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Hang on, that can't be.
It is, yeah, it is. Because,
well,
hit records are short.
Like, no way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So, good day.
Good day.
Hey, you guys.
What?
Check off.
Hey, no. Hey, don't go.
No, come back, eh?
Oh, look what you did. Everybody's gone because of you.
Come back. I won't let him do it again.
Yeah, my fault was
your fault.
You're such a hoser.
There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, Hoser.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'll do a solo album.
Fine, and you'll be looking for me another label.
Oh, now everybody's gone. Good day.
Good day.
So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Jeez. Take off, you hosers.
Hey, Getty, we like to thank you for coming on the album and singing on the hit single.
Well, it was my pleasure, eh? Like, I wish you guys, like, lots of success and everything.
Beauty. Thanks,
thanks
Getty.
A lot, eh?
Oh, that's great.
You're welcome.
Okay. Like, if we do another one, maybe you could do it?
Well, slow down, eh?
Okay. One at a time, right?
Don't push the guy,
yeah,
eh?
Okay. Sorry. But, you know, like, thanks for this one.
Thank you.
No sweat.
Yeah.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day. Good day.